into the old apartment. This is where we used to live. Broken glass, broken hungry, broken hearts and broken bones. This is where we used to live.
It's a family meeting on rent. On the Brian Lehrer Show today, coming up in a few minutes, Deputy Mayor Alicia Glenn on the new de Blasio plan to create or preserve 200,000 units of affordable housing. Ambitious as it is, does it just offer a few more life rafts in a city built for the rich? But first, here's a question for renters. Can you feel a sense of ownership in a space you don't own, a sense of home in someone else's house? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. How does that work for you? We had that caller earlier who wanted to know how much she could renovate her rental apartment. She felt so at home there, she wanted to make some permanent improvements out of her pocket, but didn't even know if she was allowed. There was a renter with a real sense of home. But how much ownership can you feel, do you feel, in a space you don't own? 212-433-9692. If you rent, call in and describe your relationship with the space that you live in. Does it feel like yours? Does it feel like home? Can you feel a sense of ownership in a space you don't own? A sense of home in someone else's house? 212-433-9692. How far have you gone to improve the apartment that you rent? And who have you let live there with you? And how did that work out? 212-433-9692. If this is your home, even though you rent it, call in and talk about your roommate, your romance, and your rent. Who has a good story that other listeners might learn from in our constantly gentrifying city? Is our relationship to your market-rented apartment different than it might have been in a more stable environment? Is it different than for the rent-stabilized people next door? 212-433-WNYC. In fact, rent-stabilized tenants, and as we were describing before, there are still a million of you, a million units, so more than a million people in the five boroughs, even as the number continues to shrink as landlords take advantage of the ever-widening loopholes in the law. But if you're in a rent-stabilized apartment, what does gentrification look like to you as you see your neighborhood change and your neighbors get kicked out? 212-433-9692. That sense of home in a rental must be different for you as a stabilized renter than it is for your unstabilized neighbor. We have unstable neighbors, oh yeah, and we have unstabilized neighbors. 212-433-9692. And how about your rentals and your relationships within your apartment? What tips would you have based on your experience for sharing a rental with other people? Call in and talk about your roommate, your romance, and your rent. 212-433-9692. It's one kind of relationship to take in a lover or a roommate if you own your own home. But when the landlord owns your home, how fraught was it when you added your boyfriend or your girlfriend to the lease? Did you get burned by that? Or did it work out when you broke up? Did you fight at first over whether to add your partner to the lease or keep them off the books in a more informal relationship? 212-433-9692. And how might it have been different? Might it have been different for you if you owned? So call in and answer any of these questions. Can you feel a sense of ownership in a space you don't own? A sense of home in someone else's house, renters? How far have you gone to do permanent improvements, to make permanent improvements to the apartment that you rent? Or call in and talk about your roommate, your romance, and your rent. Tell us a story of how that worked out and the lesson that other listeners might learn from it. 212-433-9692. Henry in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Henry.
Hey, how you doing? Great show. Love you. Love listening to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had a really cool situation at the time. My friend was doing really well in business, and he rented this big, beautiful house, majestic, like a mansion. And he had plenty of room for myself and another friend of ours, and the three of us lived there. We rented from him, you know. But, yeah, I felt this tremendous sense of ownership living there. I spent thousands of dollars of my own money decorating the house and making it more livable and, really felt great there for about 8 months until his business went belly up, and we all got kicked out of the house because he was the only guy on the lease, you know?
Wow. So just 8 months. I thought you were going to say 8 years or 18 years. Right away, you felt this sense of ownership because you were excited to move in under the circumstances you describe.
The house was brilliant. You know, it was a big, beautiful, like a mansion.
You were renting in a house.
Yeah, I was renting a room in his house, but it was, it's tremendous, a 4,000 square foot home.
So what's the lesson in this experience? Because it sounded like you got burned.
Yeah, you don't want to do it. There's a sense of ownership that people feel when they're not owners is false. It's an illusion.
Henry, thank you very much. But is that always true? JC in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, JC.
Hi. Sorry, I've got to get off the speaker. I was doing the washing up at the same time. Hi, Leonard, how are you?
Brian, it's okay.
Brian Lopez. I've been living in the same apartment since 1990. And I inherited the lease off a friend of mine who I used to work with back in the day. And my old landlord was a slumlord and he didn't really give a damn. So when the building was sold, the new landlord inherited me and my rent control. So I've had it for over 20 years. But you were asking about the gentrification.
Uh-huh.
And what's happened in my building around the neighborhood. Well, here's the thing. Was last year, at the end of November, we got burgled. And this is in the Lower East Side. And so I talk a lot to the police and everything about it. I mean, I live in this neighborhood with all my neighbors, even though most of them have gone now, died or moved or whatever. There's still a couple of people around. And they said it was all due to the gentrification. There's so many people who are moving into the Lower East Side with these ideas that they're paying the rent, that they've got the justification to leave their windows open, or they leave, $1,000 computers on their desks. They don't bother locking the windows because they think that they've moved into a gentrified neighborhood. But really, on the whole, it's kind of an advertisement to anyone who wants an easy picking to come and break in.
So do you think their sense of home in there, and I don't know if you're talking about people.
I think it's gone. I think all that's gone, the sense of home. People come in, and also the other thing is the landlords would much prefer to have short-term leases. I believe that NYU's taken over the whole of the city anyway, because we've got so many students on the block who walk around like zombies without actually looking at where they are. And I just think, wow, when I moved in on this block, I got to know everyone who was out there because, just to me, it was a scary neighborhood. And, there were people hanging out the whole time. It's like, all right, they're doing what they do, and that's what they do. I live here. I've got to get on with those people.
JC, I hear you. There's a good example of the different sense of home that somebody who's been there in a rent-controlled situation compared to the new people who are moving into the gentrified market rate situation might feel. And let's try Francine, also in Manhattan. What part of Manhattan, Francine?
I'm on the Upper West Side.
And?
And so, we were renting an apartment, and my husband, who's an NYPD detective, said, let's not pay any more money to fix the place up. We'll leave. Well, 5 years later, we were still there. And it was so depressing that it wasn't a home that we hired a decorator. We renovated. We organized. We painted. We made everything look great. And then we got pregnant with twins and had to move, and we did it again at another apartment because we wanted it to feel like a home.
And did you regret having sunk whatever money you sunk in to the first place, knowing that it wasn't yours and you weren't, in effect, taking that money out when you left?
I'm sure he probably did, but I didn't because it was really depressing. It felt like we were in our 30s and still living in college before we renovated it. So it was just a happier home environment, and some of the stuff we were able to take with us, the furniture, the light fixtures, the artwork. But I think everyone should try to make their New York City apartment feel like home because it does wonders to your mental well-being.
Why do you need an actual dresser when you can use those milk crates, right?
Well, sometimes you can make them look very shabby chic.
Francine, thank you very much. Lisa in Park Slope, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi, Brian. I have lived in my rent-stabilized apartment for about 20 years, and I told the screener that when I moved here, and I moved here just because my brother told me to from the East Village, I moved here because it was cheap, and there was a lot of resentment on this block from longtime residents. They used to hang out on my stoop and kind of give me a hard time when I would come home. And those people are long gone. And I am still here. And at this point, I feel like I live in a gated community of rich people. And it is, I don't feel the neighborhood has improved. It has good restaurants, but there's a lot that's been lost since it turned into this den of wealth. And I have a great relationship with my landlord, and I did kind of battle my roommates for this apartment by by being the meanest, I guess, about 10 years ago. Now I live here with my, we're still friends, but I live here with my husband and kids. If my landlord sold it, I imagine someone would try, the new owner would try to get us out. But at this point, because I could never buy anything, I am considering renovating the kitchen or talking to my landlord about like fully redoing the kitchen. Because I think that I'll, you know, I might be here forever. And I'm hoping that the rent guidelines board doesn't increase the, lowers the amount that they can increase the rent because it has increased.
So your situation is you're in a stabilized apartment and you're seeing the neighborhood change around you because of the gentrification. This is the opposite experience that people may have had 50 years ago in Park Slope saying, oh, my goodness, the neighborhood is changing. It's getting worse. I have to get out of here. You're saying the neighborhood is changing. It's getting so wealthy. You don't feel like you fit in anymore. But you can't afford to leave to go to a neighborhood where you might feel like you're more with people like you.
I long to live in a middle class neighborhood. I long to live in the Windsor Terrace of 10 years ago. And I look like everybody here. I'm educated. I'm a writer. You know, I mean, I'm living in this media capital, but my income has gone down as the magazine industry has suffered, and my rent has gone up. And yeah, I just, that's really how I feel. I feel like I, you know, I was the gentrifier, but a certain kind of, you know, artist type gentrifier. This is a common story.
Absolutely.
But really, that's how it feels now. It feels like I am, you know, one of the few rent-stabilized tenants, and I'm just surrounded by bankers and corporate lawyers, and it's not how I want to live. I think it used to be that there were a few rich people and a lot of everybody else, and now it's so many rich people.
Trapped on planet 1% in Park Slope.
Yeah.
Lisa, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you. Listeners, you want to commiserate with Lisa on our comments page, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show or give her advice for how to get out to a neighborhood that she can actually afford, but with people who she feels are more like her. And we'll take one more before we get to Deputy Mayor Glenn to break down the affordable housing plan unveiled by the administration yesterday. Elaine on the Upper West Side. Hi, Elaine. You're on the air.
Hi. I've lived in my apartment since 1966.
Whoa.
It's rent control. And we waited. I actually figured out it's 30 years before we renovated the kitchen.
What took you?
I guess the thought that it was a rental and we shouldn't do it. And I'm, you know, it's now, we've had it 15 years renovated and it's wonderful. I mean, this is my home. The other side of the story, though, is that as rent control keeps going up and we're both retired now, we may not be able to stay here.
Is it rent-controlled or rent-stabilized?
Rent-controlled.
Really? The old-fashioned loan? Tell us how much you pay.
Right. You know, I think it's low 3,000 at this point.
It's a rent-controlled apartment and you pay over $3,000 a month?
It goes up 7% a year.
You know, the dirty little secret about rent control and rent stabilization is that it guarantees landlords that they will make a profit on your apartment. That's not how the landlords see it, but the rent stabilization board and the rent control laws are supposed to take into account their expenses and guarantee that they have no risk in the marketplace of taking a loss. Elaine, thank you for your call. You're listening to WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJO 90.3 Toms River, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJP 88.5 Sussex. New York and New Jersey Public Radio, our family meeting on rent on The Brian Lehrer Show today. And we'll talk to Deputy Mayor Alicia Glenn right after this about the new affordable housing blueprint unveiled by the de Blasio administration yesterday. Stay with us.